Looking forward to it.
Sarah, when would you like me to give you a heads up? 5 minutes, 2 minutes?
Just tell me when it's over. Just tell me when it's 15 and I'll stop.
Okay.
Okay. Right. So, hello. I'd like to say hello to everyone first. To introduce myself, my name is Sarah. I am a compulsive eater. Hello. I feel really safe here. That was lovely. Thank you. What I've just seen. So I'm introducing myself as a compulsive eater because that was the first substance I went through with the BBA process. And where it's led me to is codependency, and where that has led me to is adult child of a dysfunctional family. And I feel like I'm in the step one process with that, and I'm going to be focusing on that, really, on the ACA aspect. So I'd also like to introduce myself as an adult child. And just thank you for asking me to talk today. And yeah, and I am actually in the experience at the moment, and what that means is that it may be higgledy-piggledy. You are witnessing me in process. So I've got bits and bobs everywhere. So I'm going to start with my first inkling about fight, flight, freeze, flop. And I'm going to sort and tell and say my understanding of it. So that for me is like a survival mechanism. And everybody has it, and I need it if I'm going to survive. So I'm going to go to the doctor's opinion on page XX VIII. And I'm going to go, it's the paragraph beginning, men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. Now, I'm also going to admit that this paragraph actually frightens me. I don't know why. I'm just afraid of this paragraph. But this is where I became first aware of the fight, flight, freeze response. When it's talking about, they cannot, after a time, differentiate the true from the false. So what happened with me is I came to the realization that my normality was in to be in the fight, flight, freeze, flop response. That was my normality. And because it was my normality, I didn't realize that I was in it. And the only way I became aware was when we went into lockdown. And I was able for the first time to experience a sense of calm in my body. So I was also starting to do work on my body as well and reconnect with my body. So that was the first time that it really came home, that I'd spent most of my life basically being hypervigilant. And when I started to work through the BBA process with the doctor's opinion and saw this, because I got really fascinated by differentiate the true from the false. So I do have difficulty distinguishing and differentiating between a lot of things. So it first came to my attention there, like I've mentioned. So I'm going through the process. I have completed the process in terms of food. And then I'm going on to other things, being taken deeper. And then I want to acknowledge a guy called Herb K. And he started to mention about the fight, flight, freeze response in terms of inventory, which I'll come to in a minute. But I want to go to page 30 in terms of step one, in terms of that I am powerless over the effects of living in a dysfunctional family. So in the second paragraph, it says we learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves. that I, me, Sarah, I am an adult child, and this is the first step in recovery, and the delusion that we are like other people or presently maybe has to be smashed. So when I was working with the food, I could say that I'm not like other people when it comes to food, and I'm a compulsive eater. Now at this stage, I'm actually having to fully concede that I'm not like another person, that I'm not a normal person, full stop. So I'm actually trying to prove that my childhood has not affected me. And I'm at that stage of contemplation and realization and acknowledging that that's not the case and it's not true. So what I found is that it was self-reliance, and it was compulsive self-reliance to overcome the feelings of being unlovable and having low personal self-worth. Okay, so that leads me to be really quite lonely. There's a real sense of desolate loneliness. And what I love about this process is when you come to step 11, the freedom is freedom from loneliness, from spiritual awareness. And this is what I'm coming to the conclusion of about me learning the difference between the self-reliance and God-reliance in terms of being an adult child of a dysfunctional family. And in terms of compulsive self-reliance, what I would do is that I don't actually want to know if someone is betraying me, or if someone doesn't like me, or if someone is breaking confidentiality, because that reality is too painful. So I'll go into denial and dishonesty. And this is where I want to focus on the fight, flight, freeze response now. And I'm going to move into the inventory process. Okay, so in terms of fight, it's about anger, okay? And there we've got the resentment inventory part of the process. And in terms of flight, we have the fear part of the process, part of the inventory, and that's part of mistrust for me. And then I come to the freeze flop, or it's also known as fawn. And this is the dishonesty part. This is the hiding part. This is the denial part. And this is the shame aspect. So this is the sex inventory. So what's coming across to me this time with the inventory, what I'm starting to really appreciate is it's taking me deeper. So for me, the resentment aspect is sort of the top layer. And then I'm coming lower into the fear. Then I'm coming into the shame. And then I'm coming into the foundation of self-reliance. So I'm really quite blown away by the sophistication and the thoroughness of this inventory process now. So I'd like to talk a bit about, so when you think about the sex inventory, I mean, for me personally, there's nothing more vulnerable inducing and more intimate than the sex inventory. So I think there's a real potential for shame to show itself there. So I think that, you know, I do think the founders have been very astute into how they get me to go deeper and deeper and deeper into my defences. And the shame is quite a big one, and it's quite a deep one. And also what I'd like to share is about the distorted relationship that has happened from being here on this earth. So where I've had resentment, there should have been love. Where I have fear and mistrust, there should have been trust. And where I have shame, there should have been self-worth and self-dignity. And those true relationships, they're restored by God for me, being God-reliant. And part of that will be doing this inventory process. Okay. So I want to share a bit about my experience of being dishonest, going into freeze, going into this hiding, camouflaging aspect of me. I didn't realize that I was very good, or I am very good at taking the temperature of a room full of people and knowing purely unconsciously what I need to do to fit in. And I can say the right things and do the right things. And it's very, for me, it's very, this one's much more difficult and much more protracted to kind of pick up on. It happens very, very quickly. And I tend to feel caught in the spotlight. And that's when the switch happens. And that's when I start to say, yes, 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 whatever, whatever it is that I need to say to kind of get away from the situation. And it tends to, and it only has to be someone's asking me a direct question. They can look me in the eye. I find it difficult to look people in the eye. And it gets kicked off, it gets activated. So, you know, my journey with God there is going to be about becoming more aware. And I can't do that by myself. God's going to have to bring these opportunities and these experiences more and more to my awareness with the step 10 process, you know, continue to watch and be vigilant as well. I don't want to say be vigilant because that feels like it's tapping into my hypervigilance, really, of my survival mechanism. So it's, for me, it has to be a sense of calmness and centeredness. And I can only get that by being with God, because for me, my nervous system has been set in a way that is hypervigilant, and on my own power, I can't reset it. So I'm just going to check about my time just to see, so I don't start gassing too much. So I've got 3 minutes left. So I want to talk a bit more about the shame factor in this, because this is becoming interesting to me as well. So with the step four process, you're looking at the basic flaw in my makeup. And what I have been brought to is the basic flaw is actually infancy for me now. It's between 0 to 12 months where the basic flaw happened. So I'm talking it. So with ACA, we talk about having a loving parent. And what I'm realizing is that I'm unable to create or activate a loving parent within me without God's help. So God is going to be my loving parent, and God is my loving parent. And if I, and I recall about step three, you know, this is where it's first introduced about, you know, God is the father or mother or, you know, whatever helps you understand. So for me, the loving parent is going to be God, because I'm not equipped. I don't have it. I don't have a loving parent within. So, okay. So I want to just have a look at shame for the last few minutes. So with the shame, so with the sex inventory, which is a very revealing, and also the secrets aspect of the BBA process, part of shame, which can be healthy, is to see myself as less than my usual self-image, okay? So by this time, all my layers of defences and all my acting skills, they've all just been peeled away and pared away while when I get to this inventory. And apparently, it's like a cognitive shock, so I can't actually think properly, can't think straight when I get to that stage. And then I recover this ability. And what happens then is I start to think clearly and memories can start to return. So when I'm doing the sex inventory and when I did the sex inventory, there were memories that came back that I just hadn't thought about for so, so many years. So it was really revealing and revelatory for me to do that. So I find it exposing. I find it's revealing, the step four process. And then there's two ways I can go with that. I can either accept the new information or I can defend against it. and the sophistication of this process is, before I can start to defend against it, I move into step five, where I'm revealing it, not just to me, but to God and to another human being. It keeps me going. It keeps me going because it's intuitive, it's divine, it knows my defense mechanism so well. I have absolute renewed respect for this process, and I think my time's up. So I'm going to wrap it up there. Yes, so is there anything that I can sort of do a final sort of conclusion? Yes, I'll tell you what my conclusion is. Is that the step one process for me is a contemplation process. And I cannot come. In fact, I think the whole process is a contemplation process. I cannot come to any of these realizations or revelations without being still enough to let them arise. So that's where I'm at. I hope. And as you know, the where I'm at is very rudimentary at the moment. I'm still exploring so much of this. But yeah, I hope there's something in there for you anyway. So I'll leave it there. Thank you for letting me share.
Ah, okay. I think we need to turn off the recording.